Welcome to our third presentation on options, and it is obvious that you are very interested in options. So today we're going to take a look at some options strategies, a few of which you should stay far away from, in my humble opinion, and a couple that may make sense to you, although maybe not. So let's get started on slide 31. Speculating. What is speculating? Well, you'll often hear people say, well, if you feel the market price of a particular stock is going to move up, or if you anticipate a drop in price within the next 6 months, it is a highly risky, and some people will use the word investment strategy. It's not an investment. It's a highly risky, speculative gambling strategy, but it may be suited for the more speculatively inclined. The flaw in these arguments is this. There has never been a successful method to predict stock prices in the short term. You may feel or you may anticipate that the price will go up and down, but that doesn't mean that it will. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, maybe it'll stay the same. It is not investing, it is speculating, it's gambling. Plus, you may be correct, but your option may expire before you are proven correct. So, yet another exhortation to just stay away from these darn things. But let's say you really are excited about the idea of options. So let's take a look at hedging strategies. Hedging is a transaction or series of transactions made to reduce the risk of adverse price movements to an asset. You could think of hedging as insurance. And although insurance can be useful in some circumstances, it is not free. You pay for the insurance via the price of the option and, of course, the commissions. Investors can use hedging strategies when they are unsure of what the market will do. A perfect hedge reduces your risk to nothing. Of course, you had to pay for it. So, except for the cost of the option and the commissions, yeah, it was reduces your risk to nothing. So let's take a look at an example. You own 100 shares of flimflam.com, still trying to make it in the internet world, and it is currently selling for $50. Now you're afraid the price will plummet within the next 3 months to 10 bucks. You don't know that, but you know it's selling for 50 bucks and you own the 100 shares. So you purchase a put at $50. Now, no matter what happens, you can sell the stock for $50. But only until the option expires. Then you got to go out and buy more insurance. Now, there's a name for this. It's called a protective put because you own the 100 shares of Flim Flam and you're afraid it's going to sell. It's going to fall. But you don't want to sell. You know, you don't really want to sell it. So you buy this put, which allows you to put it to somebody for $50 no matter what happens to the price, and you're protected until the put option expires. Insurance is not free. Using options as insurance is one way to keep your broker very happy. If you're sure the stock will fall, why not just sell the darn thing, right? Well, that will incur commissions and taxes. Oh my goodness. When people complain about taxes, I feel sorry for myself. I got a great way that you don't have to pay any taxes on all this money. Ha ha ha, give it to me. I'll pay the... Anyway, slide number 34, straddle. This is the simultaneous purchase or sale, either side of the contract, of a put and a call on the same underlying financial asset. Wait a minute. Why would you buy a put and a call on the same stock? Well, if the price is volatile in either direction, up or down, you're going to make money, right? It's going to go up or it's going to go down. It's volatile. You just don't know which, so you buy a call and a put. But you got to pass the break-even point for both purchases, plus commissions. So if you bought a call for $5 and bought a put for $4, that means the stock has to go $9. We're not even talking about commissions now, right? It's got to go $9 in either direction. It's either got to make it, it's got to go up past $59 if we bought it, you know, say the stock was at 50, we bought a strike price of 50. Stock has to go up to 59 or more to make, actually, 59 is the break-even point. If it goes past 59, you're going to make money. If it goes below 41, you're going to make money. But if it stays somewhere in between, you as the put option, call option buyer, you bought a put and a call, you're not going to make any money. And we're not even discussing commissions. Now, if the stock is not volatile, you could sell. You could write. You could make the sales, right? And then if the stock stays within that between 41 and 59, you're going to make some money. But again, if the stock moved in big time, either way, you could wind up losing. But who's going to make out the most? Right. Two commissions at the same time. Your broker's going to love you. Slide 35. Okay, so here's an example. Straddle example. Swindlers NFTs is selling for $50 and its price is extremely volatile. You purchase a call for $50 and a put for $50. The price of the call option is $4. The price of the put option is $5. Now, no matter which way the price goes, one of your options will be in the money, but the call cost you $5 to $4 and the put cost you $5, so the price has to move at least $9 either way before you break even. And we did not even include the cost of the commissions. You paid two commissions for the straddle, possibly one for exercising the option. Brilliant strategy, huh? Wait, it gets better. A spread is the simultaneous purchase and or sale of two or more options with different strike prices and in different expiration dates. For example, the stock is selling for $50. You buy a call at a strike price of $5. You sell a call at a strike price of $55. You paid for the call at $50. You got paid for the call at $55. The stock price rises quite a bit, substantially. You're going to make money, folks. No, don't do it. The possibilities are endless, and so are the commissions. And if you have a broker who's trying to sell you these darn things, trying to get you, oh, yeah, let's do some spreads, let's do some straddles, you need a new broker, in my humble opinion. Now, slide 37. We've been discussing the buying of options and the put and the selling of options, but in the case of selling of options, now, here's something that possibly may make sense, and that is selling options, writing options, making options. They all mean the same thing. Selling options allows the individual to play the part of the casino. You become the Las Vegas casino, and the option buyers are betting against you. And more often than not, the option writer is correct. Because most options expire worthless. Did we mention that yet? No matter what happens, the option seller gets the buyer's premium, the buyer's price that they had to pay for the option. And they get to keep that no matter what happens. If and when I ever begin trading options, and I probably won't ever do that, I'm pretty old as it is, I don't need any more excitement in my life, it will be as an option writer. But that doesn't mean you still cannot lose big, folks. You can lose very large when you're the option seller, the option writer, the option maker. However, there are ways for you to protect against large losses if you're the seller. You can write what are called covered options and uncovered. There are ways for you to protect yourself. You can write what are called covered options. These are options that where you're in a position where you are covered, as opposed to uncovered options, or typically called naked options. Who says investing it can be boring? These are options that where you're not protected. They expose you to tremendous risk. The amount of return to the option writer is always limited to the amount of the option premium, the option price received. But the loss can be substantial, even unlimited in the case of a naked call, an uncovered call. Because think about it, dear students. If you said you were going to buy that stock at $50 and the price goes to $500, and it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. Prices sometimes skyrocket. There's no limit to how much the stock price can go up. Now, if you're the put option seller, once the price hits zero, it can't go any lower. But still, when you are uncovered, when you are naked, you can lose a lot of money. And that's why we're going to take a look at some covered strategies. And here is the first on slide 39. a covered call. And this, by the way, is the only transaction that involves options that is allowed in an IRA, in a retirement account. It's the only one. You own a stock. You already own the stock. You're considering selling. You're not sure. So you write a covered call and you receive the premium. If the stock price jumps substantially, the stock will be called away from you. You will be forced to sell. Oh, well, you were thinking of selling anyway, right? If the stock price stays the same or goes down, the option will expire worthless. You get to keep the option price, the option premium, and then you can write another covered call. This strategy is only one of two strategies that your humble instructor would ever consider. Okay? Because you own the stock already and you're thinking of selling. So let's take a look at an example. You own Butterfly.com. You've heard them, right? Yeah, right. Another internet company never made it. It's currently selling for $50 a share. You bought it at $40 and you want to sell, but you're not quite sure. You write a covered call at $55 and you receive $500. Since the premium, the price of a $55 call is currently $5. Remember, you have to multiply by 100 because every contract means 100 shares. So if the price were $5, you're going to get $500. That goes in your pocket. You get to keep that. Now, if the stock price jumps over 55, it will be called away from you at 55. But you were thinking of selling. But instead of selling at 55, it's as if you actually sold at 60 because you got $5 right off the bat when you sold the option, plus you get 55. And if the stock price stays below 55, well, you can write another covered call or you can decide, you know, it's time to sell. This strategy allows you to make extra money from a stock that you already own. Now, what are the disadvantages? Well, if it zooms up to 100, oh well, you have to sell it at 55. You have no choice. And what if the stock price plummets? Well, you were thinking of selling, weren't you? There was probably a good reason. Well, you don't have to worry about the option anymore because that person's not going to exercise the option, but you held on when you were thinking of selling. So it's a way to make a little extra juice from your orange, a little bit of extra juice out of that stock. That's the way to think about it. As I said, this is one of the only two choices of options I would ever consider, and I've never done it, and I probably never will. The next one is a naked put. Now, this is sad. This is kind of sad that technically this is not a covered put. It's an uncovered put or it's a naked put. There's a way to do a naked covered put that's really not the same. It's a little more complicated. And of course, if you're interested in doing it, your broker will explain how. But this is, I call it a covered put. It's not technically a covered put, and it's not allowed, unfortunately, in an IRA. You're considering purchasing a stock, and you have the cash to make the transaction. See, you have the money. Because it could be put to you. The stock could be put to you at the price that you agree on with the put option buyer. But that's okay. You were thinking of buying it anyway, but you're not quite sure. If the stock price falls substantially, the stock will be put to you. You're going to have to purchase it. If the stock price stays the same or goes up, the option will expire worthless, and then you can write another naked put, or you can just decide to buy it, but the stock. But in either case, you get to keep the premium. You see why it's actually not a bad strategy? Now, it's not technically covered. The brokers will say, well, that's not a covered put, even though you have the cash. But you are covered because you have the cash to make the transaction. And again, this is the only other option strategy that yours truly would personally consider, and I've never done it, and I probably never will. So let's take a look at the example. You are considering purchasing Butterfly.com. You don't give up on that internet company that still hasn't made it. And it's currently selling for $50, and you have the cash. Now, how much cash do you need? $5,000, because it's 100 shares, right? So you have the $5,000. So you write a naked put at $45. But remember, you are covered. You got the cash. You receive $300, say. That goes in your pocket. You get to keep that no matter what, since the cost of a $45 put is currently $3. Now, if the stock price falls below $45, the stock will be put to you at $45, But hey, it's as if you bought it at 42 because you got $3 per share, $300, 100 shares times $3. And then you bought it at 42, and then you bought it at 45. So 45 minus 3 is 42. It's as if you bought it at 42. Of course, if the stock price stays the same or goes up, you can write another naked put. This strategy allows you to make extra money from a stock that you want to purchase. Well, what are the disadvantages? If it goes to zero, or goes down to 10 or whatever. Plus, if it starts going up, you might never actually wind up buying it. That's okay. There's lots of other stocks that you're interested in. So you see these option strategies? Couple of them make sense. The protective put, the covered call, the naked put where you have the money, the straddles, the spreads. They're just plain and simple gambling. Whew! So are you thoroughly confused with options, or is it actually starting to sink in? It takes a few times, doesn't it? And everybody gets confused with these things, even people who've been doing them for years. So go back over, listen to them, watch them, play, go to the website and learn how to look these things up and watch them, because they're incredibly volatile throughout the week. You just watch them as they bounce up and down. Because in our next presentation on options, we'll take a look at some odds and ends. Employee stock options, and then a few other the crazy options that are available. And then warrants, which are kind of like an option. Okay? Well done, dear students. We're so proud of you. You've made it this far, and you really are interested in options. And maybe you're thinking of getting in the industry. And if you want to take the Series 7, yes, even though you hopefully will never touch these things with a 39.5-foot pole, you got to know them. Yep, inside out before you take the Series 7. But for the final exam, there are questions already on the website that all you have to do is study and find the answers, and there you go. See you in our last presentation on options.